It's Thursday, April 5th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 755, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, save 25% on a one-year, fourth-generation hosting account over at GoDaddy.com by using the promo code CES2. Hey, folks, going to have a great show for you here, and coming to you as live as it can be from Indianapolis, Indiana. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the Portable Studio in Indianapolis, Indiana. And of course, I want to welcome everyone here to the Geek News Central Podcast. And it's been a few days. We weren't able to do a show on Monday night. So I'm back with you here Thursday to get a show out before I head back to Honolulu. Of course, I want to give everyone a warm welcome. All of you that are part of the Ohana here, and those of you checking out the show for the very first time, we're up and streaming and up on Ustream tonight only. And it looks like everything is working the way it's supposed to be. You know, I got down, flew out of Chicago. I mean, excuse me, flew out of Honolulu Sunday night. Really did not get into here into Indianapolis until late Monday. Had a bunch of trouble with my flight. And basically, by the time I got in, it was just time to pass out instead of doing a show. So apologize, no show for Monday. And we thought we were going to have someone that potentially could stand in, and they basically didn't get back to me soon enough to get all the details on doing the show. But anyway, back here with you from the Portable Broadcast Studio. And, of course, to come into you from a very dingy hotel room. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome again to all the Ohana listeners from around the world. I want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there by going over to geeknewscentral.com. Subscribe to the podcast. You'll find some links there on subscribing via RSS, iTunes, Zoom Marketplace. You can get hooked up with our newsletter as well. Of course, you can watch the show on our Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, and Google TV. Of course, you can reach out to me on Twitter at Geek News, or you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Our action hotline is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. And of course, if you want to pick up Ohanaware, go over to cafepress.com/Ohana store. As always, this show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. I tell you, they've got some great deals coming. Or actually, I've got some great deals coming to you for the NAB show. I'll be updating you on that as we get closer to NAB here in about another week. But actually, we've got some invites today to appear on a couple of live events that are going on at NAB. So I'll be doing that there. Looking forward to actually stepping in and using someone else's studio, which is kind of cool. So we'll be in having talking about media and so forth at the NAB show here coming in just about a week from, well, a little over a week from today. But I tell you, GoDaddy has been with me here for a long time, and if you're looking to save money on hosting accounts, all you really have to do is go over to GoDaddy.com, check out their fourth-generation hosting, and when you get to that checkout counter, use the promo code CES2. Of course, you can find all of my codes over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Okay, well, it's been a crazy busy week here in Indianapolis. Weather's been beautiful. You know, just like, I packed a jacket, but really didn't even need one. Cooled off a little bit today, but other than that, it's been fantastic. So, I've been kind of moving around a little bit, just checked into this hotel here a little bit, earlier this afternoon. I was down in Bloomington for a couple of days and came back up here to Indianapolis. So a variety of different meetings in different areas. But it's been pretty good. Had a lot of fun. So I tell you, nothing really else to update you guys on. There's going to definitely be a Saturday morning tech. I'll be back in Honolulu doing a Saturday show. So we've got going to have some good guests on there. I think I don't know if you guys watched the last Saturday morning tech or not. If you watched last week's, but boy, it was heated. It was a good discussion, and anyone that's a media creator or thinking about creating media should check it out. It was a good 2 hours. So if you didn't get a chance, of course, to, you know, if you're lacking on content here from GNC, you'll definitely want to listen to last week's Saturday Morning Tech. We'll have a good one for you as well. Don't forget, looking to have folks become insiders. If you want to help the show out, we're always willing to hope that you can come on board and support the show by becoming an insider by going over to geeknewscentral.com. /insider. Well, I tell you, I've got a lot of stuff in this stack for you tonight. The news is just, it was off the chart. There was so much stuff tonight. I actually probably have more stuff than I can cover in the allotted time to get her done. But we're going to get through it here in a few minutes. One thing I do, I tell you, when I come back, one thing I am always surprised is that when we go out to eat or I go to a convenience store or whatever it may be, I get to the checkout counter and, you know, if something costs me $3 in Honolulu, it's $1.50 here. And it never fails to surprise me how much cheaper it is to definitely live in the lower 48 than being in Honolulu. I'm just going to have to start working on my wife saying, honey, you know, we should maybe it's ought to consider moving back to the lower 48 instead of staying in Hawaii. But I know that's going to come with a dirty look and probably a scowl. But I tell you, I could save a heck of a bunch of money by living somewhere other than Hawaii, that's for sure. But anyway, that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. But wishful thinking on my part. Well, let me take just a few minutes and let me give you an idea here of what we've got lined up for tonight. We're going to talk about some stuff that's been going on in Spain. We're going to talk about some crazy pictures that are actually coming off Mars. We're going to talk about some Mac viruses that are out there, or malware, and what people can do to watch out for that. We're going to talk about the Jobs Act that just got passed and a variety of other different content tonight as well. So I got some good stuff here for you in a sec. Before we do that, of course, I want to take a minute here and thank our final sponsor before we get into the show. But, you know, with colleagues working from home or traveling for business, getting everyone together for a meeting can be really an almost impossible task. But I have a solution for you. It's GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Your team can meet face-to-face while they're online, no matter where they are. It only takes seconds. It's just so easy. GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plan online. And with HD Faces, you need a webcam to turn your online meeting into a group HD video conference. And you can participate on the go using the built-in camera on your iPad. Just download the free GoToMeeting app to join. So it works out really well. And I was actually using one in my car, using the GoToMeeting app in my car a few weeks ago. But you guys know that I love GoToMeeting, and I recommend it to you as a host of this show. So really, what you do is to start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. As a listener of this show, you can get a free 30-day trial. Don't wait for this special offer. What I want you to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button. It's the orange button on the GoToMeeting site, and use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use that promo code PODCAST to get that free 30-day trial. Okay, I want to go ahead here and get into the content of everything I've got tonight. And, you know, having failed to pass the SOPA, of course, this was big going on right at the first of the year, Congress is apparently looking for other ways to keep the big copyright holders happy. And their latest is a letter that they sent, that is a letter that was sent by 16 senators to the FTC, urging the commission to protect American manufacturers by cracking down on foreign companies that are using unauthorized software. They're saying that this unfairness harms the affected companies and their employees, as well as consumers and the broader economy. It also stifles innovation by forcing law-abiding American businesses, large and small, to compete against those businesses that reduce their operating costs through the use of pirated IT. I think we're going to find that no matter what the Congress wants to do and senators want to do by telling FTC, how does the FTC go tell a foreign corporation using software in a foreign country to get their act together and register all that software? I just don't see, and I don't understand what the senators think the FTC can do. Is there some sort of magic wand that the FTC can wave and get these companies to stop? I don't think so. So what is the use of this letter, if nothing else, just to, waste the FTC's time in trying to enforce, the companies buy all their software? It's not going to happen. Quite simple. Moving on to the next topic here, there was a gigantic tornado spotted on Mars, and what they found was really a dust devil. It was 12 miles high and was captured winding its way through one of the planes on northern Mars on March 14th by the high-resolution image science experiment camera on the NASA Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. Pretty cool picture. Basically, you're looking straight down at this dirt devil that's going across the plains of Mars. Boeing has also been working here. They did some of their first drop test of their new crew-carrying spaceship and did some parachute drop test. So the Boeing CST-100 space capsule has had its first successful launch. They've had it all instrumented out. They're going to be basically doing some more drops, but they feel that that Boeing should be ready with their private spaceship, be ready to carry astronauts to the International Space Station and other low Earth orbits by 2015. So we'll see where this goes and how Boeing does on their private initiative. Now, I hope all of you have gotten your taxes done. You've got about 10 more days left here before you do so. And I know every once in a while people get in a little bit of trouble and maybe owe some money on back taxes. So you just got to love what they've done here in Washington. And if you are, if you owe back taxes, you're going to be prevented from traveling outside the United States because Senate Bill 1813, which was introduced by Senator Barbara Boxer, Democrat of Los Angeles, basically is what's going to happen is you're not going to get issued a passport. So if you owe back taxes, no passport for you if this bill continues. Now, it cleared the Senate 74-22 vote on March 14th, and it's headed for a vote in the House of Representatives. We're to expect, of course, to encounter stiff opposition among the Republicans that control the House. But if the senator from of Los Angeles had her way, you would, if you owe any sort of back taxes, you would be prevented from getting a passport and being able to travel outside of the United States. I think that would be up to some sort of a challenge, because it just seems to me like I don't know how they could possibly do that, but that has been introduced. Now, Hollywood itself has hoped that criminal cases against Mega Upload, which is in progress, is one of the only first in a line of many takedowns that could be happening here in the near future. So, during a speech that was given by some executives, Paramount Pictures' Alfred Perry said that Mega Upload is just the first, and he went on to say that he would hope that lockers like PutLocker, MediaFile, FileServe, DepositFiles, and WUpload would be turned over to the Department of Justice and shut down. And the folks from MediaFile were like, "What? What do you mean, us?" And they were pretty shocked that they had that this guy had listed them as a rogue website. The founder of MediaFire basically said that it's my opinion that the inclusion of MediaFire was most likely a result of misinformation. He says we've already received very positive responses from people supporting us, both in and outside the copyright industry, and we hope that the public and press will continue to challenge Mr. Perry's assertion. So he's just, he's saying, man, all of a sudden, if you are running any type of a cyber locker service, you are immediately considered to be guilty by the you know, the movie industry, and you know, he thinks, you know, this can be construed the wrong way, and people could stop using their service because there was, you know, of the fear that the Department of Justice is going to come in and seize the computers and servers and put him out of business. So they've tried to see, basically tried to take a positive spin on this. They said that the company doesn't see any point in throwing back at Hollywood, and instead explains that they operate a perfectly transparent U.S. company. He says a business has proven to be useful to many legitimate customers. So we'll see where this goes, but definitely they're... the movie industry is lumping all of these file lockers or cyber lockers into the same category as Mega Upload. Now, Spain's Minister of Culture is reporting that in the first month of activities following the introductions of the country's own anti-piracy law, which is very similar, it's basically, they described it as the Spanish version of SOPA, which it took effect on March 1st, has had right holders been very busy filing notices, with almost 300 complaints been filed, including 79 site takedown requests. So we know that Spain was threatened to be placed on the United States trade blacklist if they had not implemented their version of SOPA in the country. So they call it the Cindy Law in Spain. And so now they are at the point where they're going to be seizing as many as up to 100 websites, and all types of different activities are going on, including blocking of websites that are not even in the country. So it just goes on to show you that once these countries get a little bit of you know, legislative power on the books, the copyright holders come right in and start trying to get sites taken down. It'll be interesting to see, as sites start getting taken down in Spain, whether or not they're running into, you know, any false takedowns. So we'll see where this goes. But we will we'll keep an eye on it. Now, there is a hacktivist sabotage campaign that's going on. I'll have that link up in the show notes where you can check out. That was an article that was listed over on torrentfreak.com. So I'll have that up for you to check out. And a more disturbing piece of news, Sky News out of the UK has admitted, of course, Sky News is partially owned by Robert Murdoch's News International, has admitted that it has twice, now check this out, twice authorized journalists to hack the email accounts of people it was researching for stories. Huh? This is a news company, not a, oh, I can't take that one. Oh, I'm sorry. I know who that is, too. So, you know, the first case took place in 2008, and it involved a guy by the name of John Darwin, who was dubbed the Canoe Man by the British press after he disappeared in one during a jaunt on the North Sea in 2002. They basically figured out that this was a scam to collect insurance money, so the Sky News went in and actually hacked this guy's account and then turned this information over to the authorities, and the wife was prosecuted and so forth. But it's pretty scary stuff when a company gives its employees permission to go in and basically hack email accounts of people that's researching. Very scary indeed. So I have a link up in the show notes on this. We'll see what the fallout on this is going to be. All right, if you've got a Mac computer, nearly 600,000 Macs are now zombies. There's a new Trojan out there. It's called the Mac-specific flashback Trojan. Has created a zombie army of 600,000 Mac machines by exploiting a Java hole that Apple only patched this past Tuesday, 6 long weeks after Microsoft plugged it on its Windows machines. The antivirus firm Dr. Web arrived at the figures and basically said that most of the zombies were located in the United States, 56.6%, or 303,000 of the Canada had 19.8%. The UK had 12.8%. So this is a bad one, and you have to make sure you update your Macs, and it may be time to be looking at some antivirus and Trojan software, Mac users. You are not exempt, but this is a nasty one. Essentially, what it does is it calls home to mama and sends data back to the, you know, basically clicks, you know, captures your clicks and what you're typing. And then basically it's used to exploit your personal information to probably do things you don't want done with bank accounts and so forth. So I have the link up in the show notes on that. It's been reported widely today across many sites, but the source site I have has you some links to some software and instructions on how to check out your machines. All right, Google is wanting to mobilize your website for free. So if you are a small business or you have a blog and it's willing to foot the bill for a year to help with your mobile web optimization, and for 12 months, they're going to give you free hosting customization with a company that's called GoMo. And essentially what you're going to do is get about $100 worth of free service. And I have the link up here in the show notes on this. But, you know, Google has a significant motivation to bring more websites mobile. The more web-friendly or the more phone-friendly content on the Internet, the more mobile searches Google can generate, and really the more mobile ad revenues it brings in. So it's pretty amazing that they're going to, you know, basically give every person $100 worth of free service to help them get their sites to be mobile ready. If you live in New York, and this is an interesting one, we'll see if this spreads to other states, but if you live in New York State, the Attorney General there has announced a purge of sex offenders from online games. Now, up to this point, sex offenders had a list of different sites that they could not utilize, that they were basically, it was illegal for them to be on those sites. But now what's happening is that they're banning sex offenders from using online video game systems like Xbox Live and different services like that. World of Warcraft no longer can be accessed by folks that are basically listed as a sex offender. So we'll see what happens with this. And you know, the state of New York basically requires those offenders to register their email address and other online identities, including turning over IP addresses and so forth of the accounts that they're on. So we'll see what happens with this and see if other states pick up on this as well. My phone's going crazy here. All right. Keep getting text. And the phone's ringing. People think I'm still in Hawaii right now, and there's still prime time for them to call me. All right, the Jobs Act. Let's talk about that. Five things to look forward to and five things to dread. And this is pretty exciting stuff here. The good part, more money for startups, and small businesses can raise money from anyone. This is a benefit for the general public. If you're a fan of a company and you're tempted to ask, can I invest in your company? The answer now changes from now to maybe. There's no more silly gag rules. So basically, you're not going to be affected by so much of the SEC rules anymore. The startup economy becomes more transparent. In other words, more investors, large or small, will participate in the startup economy. So with this new thing called crowdfunding, could encourage accredited investors to get more active with startups. Currently, fewer than 5% of them do. So this is new crowdfunding could allow you to get started and find funding more publicly than having to be very quiet about it and keep that undercover. Of course, there's this Jobs Act is also basically the Jobs Act stops companies from being forced to go public if they take on more than 500 investors and changes who counts as an investor. Previously, if 500 entails owned if 500 entities owned shares of a company, it had to file with the SEC. Now it's 2,000, and employees don't count, which is good. Then there's also less onerous Sarbanes-Oxley paperwork, which is outstanding. The Jobs Act streamlines the process for going public for companies who execs believe they are ready. Some businesses, such as those with under $1 billion in revenue, will now be able to go public without following the Sarbanes-Oxley compliance and disclosure regulations, at least for the first 5 years on the public market, which is pretty outstanding. That those are very expensive reports and very difficult to basically to comply with, not necessarily comply with, but just all the filing requirements and so forth. What this is bad about, I'm going to have to shut this phone off. My God. It's a field day for scammers, you know, where there's money, there's fraud. Just as there'll be emergent properties that help startups, there will be unintended consequences. So there's going to be folks that are out there trying to scam for money and don't actually have a startup business. There's definitely risk of grandmas and grandpas and investors that aren't very savvy could be losing their money. But startup CEOs could also lose everything. Companies that take crowdfunding expose their officers to personal liability. They could be sued for their personal assets. For this reason, there's felt that many businesses won't open up crowdfunding rounds unless they absolutely have to. So we have to check on that more closely and see what's there. I guess if you lie, you're going to go to jail, which would be smart. Investors will still be in the dark. Directors and portals of crowdfunding opportunity will still be severely limited as their mission they can display to users, since they'll be forbidden from making recommendations on investments. This means no rankings, no scoring, no editorial advice. Companies will be put their information out to consumer investors, but it will be difficult for the investors to rate the companies against each other. But there is going to be probably more crappy IPOs. Potentially weaker companies could go public. And so this means that, you know, since those companies don't have to comply with the Sarbanes-Oxley regulations, that basically you would be able to easily enter the public market. And so that's good. So it starts today, and this is an exciting thing. And I'm really, to be honest with you, I'm very excited about the potential of being able to say that Geek News Central is looking to raise money and we're looking for investors. I'm not saying that, but it's going to be very cool to be able to do so underneath the confines of the new rules. We'll have to see where that lands. There's been news today. Arianna Huffington, over at the AOL was basically promoted, but the folks over at Business Insider are saying no. She's actually been demoted, and some of her properties have been taken away, which is, yes, great. It appears that after this reorganization, Huffington no longer has oversight over TechCrunch, Engadget, MoviePhone, Stylus, AOL Video, or most importantly, AOL.com. So apparently she still has her little HuffingtonPost.com stuff. So we'll see what happens with this. But they say this was not necessarily a positive day for her, even though the New York Times reported that it was. So we'll see where this leads. All right, Google is saying no more ebooks for indie booksellers. So Google is ending the program that allows independent booksellers to sell Google eBooks through their websites. This is a big blow for small bookstores seeking to compete against Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And basically, this over 350 independent bookstores are members of the ABA sell Google eBooks through their websites. And at the end of this year, actually January 31st of 2013, that relationship will end, cutting off numerous online retailers, including companies like Indie Commerce, as well as Powell's and other partners in the United States around the world. So this is big. Google's reasoning on this, it's clear that the reseller program has not met the needs of many readers or booksellers. In other words, they haven't sold very many books, and they're spending more money than they're making on it. That's what it just really means. So that's a blow to the independent content creators. All right, Viacom has won its appeal against YouTube and is getting another chance to prove copyright infringement. So it's been almost 2 years since YouTube's triumphant win in its copyright infringement case against Viacom. So basically, Viacom appealed the decision. Now the Second Circuit Court of Appeals has decided to breathe new life into the Viacom case. The appeals judge really didn't see eye to eye with the district court's ruling. And then they said that no reasonable jury could have found that YouTube had actual knowledge of awareness of infringement on its site. So this goes back and maybe to trial. So we'll see what happens. This is a pretty big blow for YouTube and a big win for Viacom. All right, if you live in a small market and you like using your little small regional carrier, the iPhone 4S is set to launch with select regional carriers on April 20th. The lucky carriers so far include Entelos in Virginia, Alaskan Communications, GCI Alaska, MT Alaska, Appalachian Wireless in Kentucky, Cellcom in Wisconsin, along with some other sites that they have not listed yet. So that's just a few. So this is big. A lot of you are going to be able to get the iPhone 4S within your smaller regional carriers. Now, many of you have heard about Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin has really not grown beyond a relative small base of folks that are enthusiasts. But it appears now that the Royal Canadian Mint is hoping that with its backing, they're going to develop a new digital currency. And they're going to, what are they going to call it? They're going to call it Mint Chip. Royal Canadian Mint aims to kickstart digital currency with Mint Chip. And so they're trying to put this together. It's kind of an interesting move here by the Royal Canadian Mint. And we'll see what happens with this in the future. But they've come up with some sort of a challenge. You can find it over at developer.mintchipchallenge.com. It's information available via the folks over at Hacker News. All right, Sony has taken a big beating over the years, and they really know that they have got to get back in the game. So the new CEO, Kazuo Hirai, is going to be announcing the new Sony strategy on April 12th. They're planning a big news conference, and they're going to talk about its strategy with shareholders and the rest of the world on how they're going to basically turn Sony around and once again be king of the hill. Time will tell whether that's the case or not, but it looks like big change coming to the folks over at Sony. And more exciting news, a Delaware PhD student hopes to solve energy woes with renewable hydrogen production. Of course, we know hydrogen production is something that is essentially almost an unlimited renewable resource here in the United and in the world, but it's complicated. On one hand, it teases us with the promise of renewable energy, and then on the other hand, it's most often produced with natural gas as a source. And this is not a clean break from fossil fuels. So this doctoral student at the University of Delaware may have created a worthwhile process, and they're going to be taking his project over to Zurich at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, where his reactor prototype will be put through the paces, determines its efficiency and effectiveness. And we'll see if he is able to pull a cat out of a hat here and come up with an efficient way of making hydrogen. So time will tell on this one, okay? So if someone's going to take a look at it that close, then must be he's got something going on here that is pretty big. All right, iDrive. iDrive connects... Basically allows those of you on Windows machines to connect to your Google Docs via a virtual folder on your Windows machine. So this is really pretty snazzy. So if you want to access your Google Docs outside of the native interface, the iDrive Online Backup has unveiled its free software that does just that. It allows you to connect via a map drive. And so if you have an existing iDrive account, they are a cloud hosting service. Which they offer up to 5 gigs of backup storage at no cost. You can basically use that, and with your Google Docs account, be able to access pretty much all your just baseline documents that you may have online. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right. Sadly, several million people in the United States suffer from seizures. Some folks have very severe seizures. Some have more lightweight seizures. But there's been a new watch developed. It's called Smartwatch. And what this does is it basically measures time and conditions and basically what's and how long the seizure lasts and so forth, and it basically syncs to your phone, and it tracks and stores the info and automatically calls your designated caretaker to alert them of a seizure, and basically ensuing safety of the watch wearer. Also, the watch wearer has physical buttons on the side that allow the user to cancel a false alert or manually send one out with a single press. And this is a nice safety net. It'd be nice if these they'd come up with something that would give some sort of a short-term prediction or you know, short-term alert time that a seizure may be pending. But I guess it's not that good. But it does send information back to your caretaker and helps build patterns on exactly what time of day and the conditions of basically your personal conditions are prior to and during the actual seizure. So this is pretty cool. Again, it's called Smart Monitor, Smart Monitor's Smart Watch, the seizure sensing wrist watch. All right, Andrew, one of our writers at Geek News Central, has done a great article on why cable TV subscribers are making it miserable to cut the cord. And he's written up a very extensive article on this, and I think you guys should check it out. This is a great write-up, and it is I think you'll enjoy the full discussion on this. But definitely, he's got some good points here on cord cutting and his experience with cord cutting. So I have the link up in the show notes for you over at GNC. As well, Lacey has announced their Phi Big Network 2 Professional NAS and its update, and they've got some more stuff that they're announcing in the next couple of days, so keep an eye on the Lacey website. But definitely check out the article that our second Andrew H. wrote at GNC. Get confused, we have two Andrews writing for us on at geeknewscentral.com. So what I wanted to do tonight was just take quickly and go through some of the topics that were at hand, and get a show out for you, basically before I jump on an airplane, before I come home. But I have gotten a huge, huge amount of email from all of you, basically providing me links to cool stuff. And I'm going to have this available in the show notes. We're going to have links up to how Google is testing their Terminator-style smartphone glasses. Thanks, Tim, for sending that over. Got some articles here from Richard that basically talked about sports reported demanding return to Mega upload files, along with Pirate Party refusing to shut down the Pirate Bay proxy. I've got an email here from Joe, and this is Joe's. I talked about in a previous show about supplements and vitamins. He said, "Hey Todd, here's a short list of supplements I would say are worth checking out." He says, "For general health, toss some fruits, veggies in a blender and drink it each day." We do that. We drink smoothies quite often. He says, "For older adults, vitamin D. Research notes that vitamin D can reduce falls in older adults by as much as 22%. Get your vitamin D levels checked first to see if you need it." He says, "For arthritis, of course, the glucosamine sulfate." He says, "Most research by now notes that after 4 to 8 weeks use of glucosamine sulfate might reduce osteoarthritis pain, but not rheumatoid arthritis." He says, "Most supplements, however, do not contain glucosamine sulfate. Rather, they have glucosamine HCL, which appears to be less effective. I recommend that men stay away from any product that also has chondroitin sulfate, as some research hints it may be linked to prostate cancer." He says, "Fish oil. Eat fish 2 or 3 times per week for general health. Aim for about 1,000 milligrams of both EPA and DHA, the fish oils. EPA and DHA are better than flaxseed oil for heart health. Look on the back of the fish oil supplement label to see the actual EPA and DHA the product contains." What supplements do you take, Todd? I take a multivitamin. I take vitamin C. I take some sort of a glucosamine. I'm not at home, so I don't have the full list in front of me, to be honest with you. My wife has them in a stack, and I take what she has lined up for me. but I take a certain number of vitamins. I don't take a lot each day, but definitely I do the fish oil as well, and I also take one bear aspirin each day. So just in case. All right, I've got an email here from Tim saying, hey, Microsoft IE reclaims lost ground in browser battle. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Tim also sent a link here, says, rumors circulating about the PlayStation 4. He said, I generally don't care for any Sony products except for the PlayStation systems. Even then, I virtually am never on it except to watch Blu-rays or maybe an occasional game. So apparently this new PlayStation is being codenamed Orbis. So we'll see what happens with that. Got an email here from Jason. He says, hey, I saw this story on the BBC News iPhone app and thought you should see it. So let's see here. Let me look here. It says the government will be able to monitor the calls, emails, texts, and websites, visits everyone in the UK under new legislation to be announced soon. So he got me a link to that over at the BBC. Thanks for that. I do appreciate that, Jason. I'm going to email here from Chetta. He says, hey, Todd. He said, you asked our opinion about commenting system and which should we use. He said, I'm a blogger since 2010, and one thing I love the most to be the owner of my own content. Of course, being on social media sites and such is great, but you won't have control over your own content if it isn't even your own anymore as long as you put it there. So as much as I love Facebook, Twitter, Google+, you won't see me having other types of commenting system than my own. Why? Because I can take them with me and move away. Also, those comments becoming part of your post/page itself, having the commenting system somewhere else is ludicrous. If Facebook fails, you fail too. Some big bloggers in Romania have argued that it's nicer to have Facebook comments because you can see the identity of commenters and thus trolling is much reduced. I don't buy it. Spam comments and such are the blogger's responsibility. So I prefer WordPress comments on my blog, techgeektive.com, because I own them. I can edit, move them around, not requiring people log in to comment itself as incentive. I have a do follow comments, and they auto-publish from the first comment. If spam comes in the way, I'll deal with it. It's also CAPTCHA, which is not... Cache is also not allowed in my comments. It shows that I want to make a commenter's life as easy as possible. So hopefully I've presented at least one part pretty well. Happy podcasting. I wait your next show. You know, Chetto, part of the problem here in with my site, I get at least 1,000 attempts to put spam posts on my site every day. So I really have to do the best I can to prevent people from taking advantage of that. Got an additional email here from Chetty. He says, hey, Todd, while I do agree that security is among the first things the government should do, they also need to make sure they understand other cultures. Try showing the victory sign, the V sign, in Italy, and you may get a punch in the nose. I am from Romania, and most certainly in the near future I'll be traveling to the U.S. I don't think it's fair for Homeland Security to try and translate some of my tweets and then consider me a threat. They ought to have a cross-cultural dictionary somewhere in order to avoid abusing foreign citizens. Anyway, great show, and great news as always. Take care. Romania loves you. Thanks, Chetto, for that. I appreciate it. And as I said, we had a bunch of comments come in. That's a PR thing, so I can delete that. Got an email here from Tim linking to me a Tiger Direct. What did you send me? Let me look at this link. What is this? Cubix? I'm waiting for this to load. World's First. Oh, this was the April Fool's stuff. And I guess, of course, I had not done a show since the April Fool's stuff. So there was a bunch of it, you know, and there was a whole bunch that it, you know, folks had sent me links to a whole bunch of the April Fool's stuff. So I do appreciate that and sending those over. Did get an email here talking about the MPAA, talking about targeting FileServe, MediaFire. Talked about that earlier in the show as well. Also got an email here talking, give me some links to some stuff for the Chrome show. And I've got a link here on a startup weekend event that was held in Pittsburgh last weekend. I'll have that up in the show notes. Boy, I tell you, there was a lot of emails that come in. He says, hey, Todd, This has come from Richard. He said, "Hey, Todd, after you had started talking about the back door from Chinese assembly lines, I started to get a little nervous. And the reason I say this is because roughly 2 weeks ago, before the story surfaced, my Apple Store account had been breached. I got an email from Apple saying that there'd been an app installed on my phone that if I didn't install the app myself, to go to www.apple.com, change my store password account, etc. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, to get back to the point I was trying to make, when I had received the email from Apple, I snooped around my phone. The app that they were referring to was installed on my iPhone, and Todd, I swear I didn't install this app. So you tell me, is the story for real? Because for what I just explained is the honest truth. I did have the app installed, and I did not purchase this app. Now, one thing to note, I say it's in Chinese, but for all I know, it could be in Japanese language. I don't know how to read either one, but my account was broken into. I have reported Apple, but still not heard anything back from them. So, interesting. I don't know what to tell you. That is word. Just make sure you get the password changed. I'm going to email back from Andy Brown and say, "Hey, Todd, I really like this wall. It's a slim and it's new design and RFID scan proof." And this was a Kickstarter that was going on. Got an email here from one of our listeners saying, linking to a decommissioning article on space shuttles. And I think I'm done. I think I'm close to the last show day. No, I'm not yet. Got an email here from Brad. He says, "Hey, Todd, I do a show called Tech Webcast. Love for you to check it out. Cheers, Brad in Australia." So check techwebcast.podomatic.com out or techwebcast.info. And, okay, what else? I think that's it. And wow, that was a stack of email there. So, quick show tonight. Wanted to get this knocked out for you guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for listening in. And we'll get back on track here next week as I'm back in Honolulu. Don't forget Saturday Morning Tech. If you got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. It's been my pleasure. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.